Again, just reecho the welcome that was given at the start. And those that have just joined us, we extend the invitation, sorry, the welcome especially to you. Glad to see you all. There will be a time for a cup of tea and some time to chat to anyone that is here. If you'd like to ask any questions, so feel free to do that. It's a father and son arrangement tonight. Matthew's got the joy of preaching every night. He's the youngest of us all, so he's got the energy to do it. As older men, we have to just relax a little bit, so we're doing about four each. So there you are. So I'm going to just lay out how I want us to just address the gospel over the few nights that I'm going to be sharing with Matthew. I want us to look tonight at the Lord who satisfies the lost in the desert. I want on the next occasion I preach, and I'm not telling you when, we'll need to be back for that to see. I want to speak about the Lord who enlightens those who are in darkness and in the prison cell. And on the third night, the Lord who quickens and heals the dead and the diseased. And I think I might have a fourth night, and that will have to be pending. You might say, well, where did you get those thoughts from? I'm going to turn you, please, to Psalm 107. If you have a Bible, you'd like to turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and if I do have a fourth night, it would be very appropriate because there are four sections to this psalm. Psalm 107, can you turn there with me, please? Psalm 107, if you have your Bibles, if you haven't, don't feel embarrassed. But here at the psalmist, the psalmist's name is unknown, it's not at the heading of the psalm, so we don't know who wrote the psalm. But the psalmist is writing back, reflecting upon the history of the people of God, the Israelites. And in verse number 4 of Psalm 107, it's this little section I want to think with you off this evening. It says of those Israelites, verse number 4, Psalm 107, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Could you just turn back to a previous psalm, Psalm 103. We know the author of this one. His name is above the psalm. It's a psalm of David. Now, I want to read this psalm or part of it tonight. The other two occasions that I've mentioned of where I'm going with the messages, they fit into this psalm as well, so I want to link the Psalm 103 with Psalm 107. But just for the purpose of tonight, we'll read verses 1, 2, and the first part of verse number 5. Psalm 103, verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Just over to the prophecy of Isaiah, if you will. Isaiah chapter 55. Remember the heading, the Lord who satisfies the lost of the desert. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul find delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. God will be pleased to bless to us those readings from his holy, precious, inspired word. We've put some texts up tonight. We've got a little bit more organized. Last night we came down, we didn't know really what to expect, and for some of us it took a long time to find the hall, even though we've been tracking around this area for, must be 40 years, and we've walked past the community centre, and if you don't know where the door is, you can struggle to get in. I think some of you found it took about half an hour to get. Anyway, it's nice to see you all, and those of you that came a little late last night, at least you managed to come tonight, you knew where it was you were coming to. But we put up on the first text there, that great invitation, the words recorded for us in Joshua, come and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Matthew has just told us something about the word of God, about its truth, about its accuracy, and about its preservation, the fact that it is the word of God. You know, there's a verse in our Bibles, I'm going to quote it to you, if it fits very aptly with what I'm going to say tonight. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We haven't come down to Spy End to get recruits for a church, to sign a register. That's not our business. We're just interested in you. Some of you do come, and we're glad to see you down here as well as up the road there at the Gospel Hall. But you know, we've not come to get members of a congregation enlarged. We want to see you blessed with salvation. And so we've just come to bring something of the Word of God. And if you find that there's anything that we've said that you say, oh, I don't get that, and I don't understand it, and where did you get that from? If you can show us from the Bible that what we've said is wrong, we'll be listening to you. Because we need to be accurate as to that which we preach. We preachers, you know, are going to give account for every word of God that we preach in our whole lives. And that almost makes you shudder as you stand up to preach it. It's not a light thing, you know, to preach the word of God. So tonight, the Lord who satisfies the lust of the desert. You know, as we walk here and we have to bring the stuff down every night, it's a fair few treks back and forward to the car, bringing the stuff down. You know, we can tell that in this area there are a great number of people that just are not satisfied. They're sitting around on the streets. Some of them are smoking drugs. Some of them are high on drugs. And others are just not knowing what to do. And there's a great aching, heartache of people that are not satisfied. You know, I'm not going to boast you tonight, but I'm going to tell you this, that I'm the happiest man I ever could be. It's not because of what I have in possessions. I probably possess the oldest car here. It's falling apart. I shall find out tomorrow when it goes in for its MOT whether I shall have it much longer. But you know, it's not in the possessions I have. It's because I have Christ. I can testify to you tonight. Personally, I've known the Lord Jesus since I was a boy of 11. I got saved on the 2nd of February 1975, and I'll do your maths for you, I'm 56. But you know, for 45 years, I've known the Lord Jesus as my Saviour. And he gives a satisfaction that you can't rob from me of. I've got it. It's real. I know Christ. I know where I'm going. I know why I'm here. I wonder whether you've asked yourself the question, why am I here? You say it's the same routine, day in, day out. You get up, perhaps some of you don't have work, and we're sorry about that. You know, some of you are trying hard for work and you haven't got it. We feel for you. But you know, it's the same routine. If you haven't got work, you get up, say, where can I go today and what can I apply for? And where am I going to get the next bit of money to buy the next meal and to pay the next bill? And you say, what am I here for? There's no satisfaction, there's no joy. And I tell you this truthfully, there isn't without Christ. But you know, when you have Christ, you have absolute peace and joy in your heart. I remember flying to Northern Ireland when I was on a business, when I used to do training. And it must have been quite a bumpy flight. I'm not a seasoned traveller. So that was probably my first or second trip to Northern Ireland in one of these two-propeller planes. And I can remember it was rather bouncy. And I sat there in the aisle, And it seemed a little bit dashed, but the plane was doing a lot of wobbling around. And we were coming down to the land, and the next thing I know, the wheels are back up and we're going up again. And the lady sitting next to me, she's shaking like this. And I look at her and she looks a little bit green in the face. And she says to me when we get off the plane, she says, "How is it you can just sit there like that?" And I said to her quite frankly, I said, "I've got nothing to worry about." And I said, "Do you not know the name of this airport?" She said, "It's George Best Airport." I said, "Do you know George Best?" I said, "I used to know he lived in the village that I was brought up in." I said, "He was a great footballer when I was a young lad." I said, "But he wrecked his life through alcohol." I said, "Do you know one thing? The man whose name is on this airport is a man that trusted Christ and knew salvation. In his late years, he got saved. And the joy of being saved." You know, in whatever troubles, last summer holiday, you know, we took out some inflatable canoes. They've gone down to the tip. We didn't get on too well with them. My wife and I were in one, and Matthew and Naomi were in another, and we were thought we were hardened, you know. We took no safety equipment out with us. Took three phones and we lost the lot. And it all went down to the bottom of the broads there. You know, they're quite treacherous waters. And we tipped over, and down I went. You know, it could have been the end. Still here. But you know, the thing is this. If it was the end, I say to myself, I know where I was going. Heaven. The end of the journey for everyone that's trusted Christ. Better get back to our psalm. Here in this psalm, I want you to notice the psalmist reflects upon the Israelites in one of their experiences. We're not told what it is, but a careful reading of the psalm will suggest to you that it was during the time the Israelites were in captivity in the land of Egypt. God had promised to the head of the nation of Israel, the forefather of the nation of Israel, a man by the name of Abraham, he had promised to Abraham that he would give him a land, he would give him a descendancy that would fill the land, and the land that God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob was the land of Israel. A land flowing with milk and honey. Sounds good, doesn't it? Tell you what, heaven's far better. A land flowing with milk and honey. You know, they ended up not being in the land, but they ended up down in Egypt. And here the psalmist is looking back upon their history, no doubt with those years in mind. And verse number 4 tells us, where we started our reading, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Doesn't sound too good, does it? A barren, empty wilderness wild. The hymn writer pens the words, you know, this world is a wilderness wild. Are you finding satisfaction in it? I'm not. Matthew talked to us today, didn't he, about all the chaos and the anarchy and the havoc and the escalation of sin. It's not a joyful place to be. And here we are. Why are we here? God made us. And God made us for himself. And God, I tell you this tonight, God wants us for himself. That's why Christ died at Calvary, to purchase a people for himself that will be saved by precious blood. So here are these Israelites, and here they are in their great distress. Perhaps you can reflect upon it, and you say, that's just me. As I drift through this world, in a solitary way, yes, you don't know me, you might say, I've got no friends. And you just feel alone. And those of you, your friends yesterday, your enemies today. Ah, yes. That's the world. When everything's going well, they'll be your friends. When it's going badly, they'll leave you. I was wondering tonight whether there's a preach on the prodigal son at Luke 15, but I haven't got 20 minutes or half an hour. But so we're not going there, but you all know the story, no doubt. And you feel the emptiness, you feel the barrenness, you feel the hostility. And my good friend Laurie there, we're missing when he goes back to Korea on Thursday, but we gave him the opportunity to preach last night and preach well. You know, as he brought to us that text, "Come unto me, says the Lord Jesus. All ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here they are. And they're empty. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're wanting. You're wanting without Christ, did you know that? There's part of you. Matthew spoke to us last night about that man and his composition, body, soul, and spirit. There's that part of you that is God conscious and only God can satisfy. That's why there's an aching void. Only God can satisfy. Here they are. So what do they do? Do they just sit down and moan in their despondency and moan in their emptiness and just wonder about it all? They might have done. But I want you to notice the most important thing that they did. Verse number 6. You'll see this pattern. You come back on future nights and I'll be preaching on the other parts of this psalm. Look what they did in verse number 6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Have you ever done that? Crying to the Lord in your trouble? You say, I don't know God. I want to tell you this, that God is only a cry away. I was thinking just during the day, you know, there's three very short prayers in our Bible. They're all recorded for us in the New Testament. And they go like this. There's a woman who's got a daughter who's desperately afflicted, demon-possessed. And she cries, Lord, help me. Did the Lord help? Did he hear? Did he answer? What do you think? Of course he did. There's Peter the fisherman. You know about Peter, don't you, the fisherman? The man that was used to the sea, yet one night he decided to get out of the boat. And he saw the Lord Jesus and he decided, I'll get out of the boat and I'll just walk and meet the Lord Jesus across the sea. And he's taken a few steps upon the water and before too long he's going down. He's going down to the bottom of the sea. What does he do? He cries, Lord, save me. And what happened? The Lord let him go to the bottom? Of course he didn't. The Lord reached out his hand and he grabbed Peter's hand and he picked him up. Does the Lord hear? Does the Lord answer? Of course he does. I ask you again, have you cried? Not cried in despair at others, but have you cried to one who can hear and one who can answer and one who can sympathize and one who can draw alongside and one who can satisfy the longing soul? I tell you tonight, he's just a shout away. I remember a man that was hung upon a cross beside the Lord Jesus. He, unlike the Lord Jesus, was a criminal. He, unlike the Lord Jesus, had done plenty of wrongdoings. When you go through the New Testament, different gospel narratives, they'll tell you each about a different sort of sin that the man was responsible of. But I tell you this, he wasn't the best of men, he was probably one of the worst. And there he was, crucified with the Lord Jesus. He first blasphemed the Lord Jesus, first cursed the Lord Jesus. But then you see, as he watched the proceedings of the day, his mind was touched. His conscience was touched. His heart was touched. And he realized something about himself. And he realized something about the man that was dying next to him, the Lord Jesus. And you know what the Bible says? He cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord was there upon the cross, dying next to him. Was the Lord just thinking about himself and not about his fellow criminal? Not a bit of it. Hear the response of the dying Saviour. When he cried out, Lord, remember me, he said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Did the Lord answer? Look at the next part of the verse. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Some of you might have been at the gospel hall a couple of Sundays ago when Stan Burley came from Northampton. If you know Stan, he's almost blind now, can't read his Bible, but he preached on those three times in Scripture that we read those words, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can write those scriptures across my message tonight based upon this one. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I say to you tonight again, in all your emptiness, in all your barrenness, in all your in all your loneliness, cry to the Lord. Ask him to have dealings with you about your sin that's keeping you out of heaven, that's keeping you on this broad road that leads to destruction. Call out, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, remember me. Have a consciousness of sin in the presence of God and believe on the Lord Jesus and on the authority of the word of God, thou shalt be saved. So here's the answer, verse number 7. He led them forth by the right way. I like that expression, you know. He led them forth by the right way. Just think about that for a moment. There's another way, you know, there's got to be the wrong way, isn't there? The Bible tells us twice over, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, the road that you think is right, is the road that's travelled by the majority. See that? On this chart here? You see the way that the most are travelling? You say it's got to be right. It's the way that they're all going. It's the way of the flow. I tell you this, the way of the flow of the traffic is the wrong way. This way, the narrow way, it's against the flow. It's not going to be easy to be a Christian. I want to tell you that. But you'll have joy in your heart. You'll have joy in your soul. And you know where you're here. And you'll know where you're going. He led them forth in the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Where are you going when life is done? You say, well, I'll be dead and I'll be done. Is that what you're going to say? I'll be dead and I'll be done. I didn't go, but it was my uncle's funeral on my father-in-law's side. It's my father-in-law's sister's husband. He asked for a humanist funeral. I've never been to one. I didn't go to that one. My wife did, to represent the family, otherwise she would have been in the bad books and that forever and never be spoken to again. You know the sort of things that happen. But you know, that's what he wanted, you see. He wanted to keep God out. He didn't like outside of the family at all. These sort of holy people, you know, that love the Bible and love the Saviour and love the word of God, and every time they have a get together you pray and all those sort of things. He had no time for that. His wife went to Sunday school market, but she just left the things long ago. You say, to be dead and to be done, that's what you want to think, is it? It's not true. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I love the words that come next. There in Hebrews 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord Jesus is coming again, and all those that trust him will be taken up to live forever with him. Heaven is the home of the Christian. Are you coming with us? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Have you cried to the Lord in your trouble and know what it is for the Lord to deliver you out of your distresses? You see, the verse then goes on to say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children of men. I'm conscious of the fact, you know, that we're living in a day of so much unthankfulness. I wonder whether you've given God thanks for the fact you've got breath to breathe today. I wonder whether you've given thanks to God for the fact that you've had food and drink today. I wonder whether you've given thanks to God for the fact that you've got a home and a little shelter from the storm and from the sun that keeps you dry and keeps you cool in the sun. I wonder whether you've given thanks to God for all the things that you have, or you just take it all for granted. You see, that's Psalm 103 that we started with. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And you know the Christians say, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy mouth is renewed like the eagles. Do you know what it is to know the Lord who satisfies the lost of the desert? The Lord Jesus came. I was going to link in, I will. I've got 2 minutes, haven't I? I haven't even got a watch. 8:27. Right. I've got 2 minutes. There's some great statements in the Gospel of John where the Lord Jesus says he's the I Am. That means he's God. And in relation to the God who satisfies, I want to say this. In John chapter 6, verse 35, that very first of those 7 statements, the Lord Jesus says these words. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see the one that satisfies? You see the one that gives food? See the one that gives drink? See the one that satisfies from hunger? See the one that satisfies from thirst? The Lord Jesus, he says, I am the bread of life. He's the one that satisfies. When you come to chapter 10, verse 9, you'll read there that Jesus says, I'm the door. He's the way to God. By me, no one else. No religion, no pope, no priest, no anybody else but Christ. No church, no system can save you. Christ alone can save. By me, if anyone enters in, he shall be saved. Not unlikely. I like the services of the Word of God. You call, you're saved. You go in, you're saved. Not likely, perhaps, perhaps. Or if I do this, I'll do that. No. I am the door, by me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. What does it go on to say? And shall go in and out. That's liberty, isn't it? Shall go in and out and find pasture. That's the idea of the sheep feeding upon good grass. You say, yes, I can see you eat too much, and I probably do. But you know, there's one thing I can tell you this, is that Christ satisfies with everything else. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And that central one of the 7, now on this I finish. The Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. 2 verses down, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of my sheep. Do you know the shepherd tonight? The shepherd is one who satisfies. The shepherd is one who cares. The shepherd is the one who leads and guides and looks after you all the way home. You know, the shepherd has the crook to lift up the sheep that is just down on his feet. We've got a surgeon here, a specialist surgeon. He's not going to perform any operations tonight, you know. But you know, he'll tell you this, that there's nobody like the great shepherd. The care and the compassion of the great shepherd who just lifts up those that are down on their feet. We commend him to you. He is the Lord that satisfies. Will you come to him and find full satisfaction? May God bless his word.